Got a special treat right now. This is the first time I've done this since pre-pandemic. No joke. We literally have not had an in-studio guest since pre-pandemic. We have not had somebody in this studio not named me in 2 years. We are joined right now by UFC president, good friend of the program, UFC 270, Ngannou versus Gone, Saturday live from Anaheim, ESPN Plus, pay-per-view, lots to cover on that card. Dana White joins me in studio. Dana, it has been a minute. In fact, it's probably been 2 years since you and I sat down together to chop it up like this. It is great to see you. Great to have this opportunity. What's up, my man? How you living? How you
feeling? I'm awesome. Everything's good. How are you?
I feel great. Everything is good here. You feeling good?
Yeah, yeah. Couldn't be better, man. You know, we're going into the Honda Center. It's actually 2.5 years since I've been here. But like 2.5 years, the Rolling Stones were the number one gate
at the Honda Center. You beat me to it. I was going to ask you about that, right? No, actually, you were number one.
Yes.
And then the Stones came in and they ripped it from you.
That's exactly right.
Are you going to rip it back this weekend?
You know the story better than I do.
Yes,
yeah,
I do.
So their gate was $3.5 million. This gate's going to be over $5 million this weekend. And so we're number one and number three all time at the Honda Center.
Well, so at least you're not competitive about that stuff. Stuff
not
like that doesn't matter to you usually.
Not even a little bit.
All right. So at the top of the card, you've got the two big dogs. You've got Ngannou and Gone, the heavyweight champion versus the interim champion. It's an incredible matchup. Now, you've had some really, really amazing heavyweight title fights in the past. Where does this matchup rank amongst those great ones before it?
Yeah, this stylistically, you couldn't get a better fight. And everything, the drama going into this with the contract negotiations with Francis, you got the bad blood between the camps because Francis used to come out of this camp. They used to train together. Francis is the champion. He's the interim champion. Francis has one punch knockout power, 100% finish rate, and many people believe that technically Ciryl Gane is the best heavyweight fighter of all time when it comes to striking. So you couldn't ask for Vince McMahon couldn't write a better script than this.
Dana, why are you so fired up, man? How many cups of coffee did you have this morning?
None, you're feeling actually.
It. None.
Yeah.
What are you running on?
I had a Randy's Donut. I'm on Randy's Donuts right now.
I love that. I got to get me one. All right. So you talk about stylistically. This is so true, right? So when you have a couple of guys, and both these guys have great punching power, but it's more than that. When you've got a couple of heavyweights, and either one of them can put a guy to sleep, and I mean for a long time with one shot, is there a different vibe and a different energy in the building on a night like that?
100%. You know, when the heavyweights get in there and start mixing it up, and especially when you have two guys that are big strikers like these two are, yes, there's a buzz and an energy. That place is sold out on Saturday. It's going to be rocking. The co-main event, Brandon Moreno, first Mexican-born UFC champion. Kid's become a huge star for us. You'll see it Saturday night when he walks out. Figueiredo posted a picture of himself like a week ago, ripped to shreds. This guy, which means this guy's taking it serious. And he hasn't even started cutting weight yet. So God knows what this guy's going to look like tomorrow when he steps on the scale. That's a great fight, and the card is stacked with a ton of other great fights.
Dana White joining me in studio, my first in-studio guest since pre-pandemic. So let me just jump around. I'm going to follow you around. These two guys, this is their third time in over a year that they have fought. That, that tells you the nature of that rivalry. In fact, in your mind, how great is that rivalry?
Yeah, no, when you get fights like this, you know, and people get excited to see the third one, it's not like, we saw this already. No, every time you know that this is going to be a good one. And the fact that Figueiredo took this so seriously, and that guy's a savage, and Brandon Moreno is so beloved and has already been claimed, you know, by the Mexican fans. Fun fight.
What do you think the reaction is going to be of the Mexican fight fans when he shows up there in Anaheim?
The place will go crazy in Anaheim, yeah. The kid's actually become a big star in a year. And you know, he's a typical Mexican fighter that Mexicans love to get behind and support, man. He's got nothing but heart, comes forward, and figures out ways to win.
All right, so back to the big dudes for a minute. You mentioned Ngannou and Gane and the fact that the nature of their relationship. There was this great moment, I thought, at UFC 268 where Francis walks past Gane like he's not even there. Like, how would you describe the relationship between those two dudes?
Yeah, it's not good, you know? There's a lot of bad blood, not just between them, but between the camps. And, you know, it's such a great story.
Dan, Ngannou, you mentioned relationships. Like, what's going on? Like, he says he wants to fight, but he's not getting the opportunities. Then he told ESPN that he would not fight under his current deal. I know you've heard all these things. What is your reaction to it?
Yeah, you know, Francis and I have had our moments since he's been with us. You know, this isn't our first time. So what's crazy is 2 weeks ago in Vegas, we're at this restaurant called Delilah at the Wynn, and our tables are literally right next to each other. So the universe got us together. We talked. We had a good conversation. That needed to happen. And we'll see how this thing plays out.
Is it fixed or are you still working on it?
Yeah, it's definitely not fixed. But I believe, I've been doing this for a long time. I believe everything is fixable.
All right. So he says he wants to box. What do you make of that? And what happens if he gets into a boxing ring?
All these guys think they want to box. Him boxing Tyson Fury.
What would happen?
He's got that kind of power that anything could happen, but, he should be worried about Saturday night.
I think so. Okay,
to worry about Saturday. That's one of the problems when you start jumping over and thinking about things that focus on Ciryl Gane and winning this fight.
So what about Gane? Like, what did he show you in the way he handled Derek Lewis, and then how much of that translates to fighting Francis?
I mean, the guy's undefeated. The guy's undefeated. He's never been beaten. And then exactly like you just said, for him to walk through Derek Lewis the way that he did, Derek Lewis beat Francis, in one of the probably the most horrible heavyweight fight you will ever see in your life. But he beat him. It's going to be interesting. Again, another part of the story leading into Saturday.
I'll tell you another part of the story. Like, you've got the champ, and he's an underdog in almost every single book right now.
Right.
You've got the interim champ, who's the favorite, and that's not by shock either. Like, when it comes to striking technique, how dangerous? Maybe not that single one-punch shot, but striking technique, how dangerous is he?
But that's part of my problem with this whole thing. You're talking about you don't want to fight under your contract. You're talking about, he gets a piece of pay-per-view, whatever we sell, like all the other champions do. You're worried about all these other things. I want to box Tyson Fury. I want to do this. I want to do that. You're the underdog on Saturday night. You're not some huge 10-1 favorite. You want to move on. Focus on beat Ciryl Gane. Win this fight. Then you can start talking about the possibility of other things.
Dan, this is why every coach in the history of the world has always said, limit distractions, be where your feet are. All that bull crap, all that stuff, there's something to it, right? And especially when you're in a sport where the other guy is punching you in the face and trying to choke you out for a living.
100%.
Even more so, to be where your feet are.
100%. And let's be honest, Francis is in a place where he's made a lot of money. He's building a big house back in his home country in Africa. He's building gyms for kids over there. He's doing all these things. Ciryl Gane wants what this guy's got. You got that guy that's coming up and is hungry. Nobody has enough money. Nobody's ever going to say, oh, they're paying me way too much. I got too much money. But this guy has made some real money, and he's doing, he's out there spending it and doing his thing. Ciryl Gane wants that real money now.
You and I have talked about this a million times, like that point going back to Conor. Once you have $100 million in the bank, is it worth getting up and doing that work? Do you have that same ferocity? Do you still want it as badly? Do you still want to get punched in the face every day for a living? You and I have talked about that. So what I'm hearing is John Jones gets the winner, right?
Oh, I have no idea. I think what's going to happen
is... That was a bad joke, Dana.
No. Well, here's the reality. I John Jones is going to be watching... closely, just like everybody else is on Saturday night, and I'm sure we'll hear from him after the fight and see what he's thinking,
or before the end of the fight, probably.
Yeah, or that.
All right, so this is gonna be an amazing night, and there's so many other things still. I mean, not to contradict ourselves, we're focused on this, but there's other really good things coming up too. For instance, UFC 272, March 5th. Colby Covington, Jorge Masvidal. Needless to say, this is a big, big Masvidal house. I cannot wait for this fight. We've all been waiting for this fight. It's finally going to come together. How hyped are you, and how do you see that going?
Incredible fight.
Yep.
Long overdue. Again, the storyline, the backstory for this goes on for days. These guys hate each other. And Colby Covington, realistically, if Kamaru Usman did not exist, Colby Covington would be a very dominant champion in the 170-pound division. He is tough. He is for real. And this guy shows up to fight. Jorge Masvidal, what this guy has accomplished over the last couple of years to become a huge superstar. Yeah, this is a very fun fight. You know what? Everything about this fight is fun. The press conferences are going to be fun. The weigh-ins are going to be fun. And then the fight itself is going to be fun.
I don't want to say something naive and say, like, believe me, these dudes would throw in the backyard for free, because they wouldn't, but they might.
Yeah, they would. We got to keep that from happening leading up to this fight, for sure.
What about that? Like, where do you draw that line, Dan? Like, you want that energy. You want that heat. You don't want these guys giving each other the hands at a presser.
No way in hell.
But where do you draw the line, though? You don't. But you also, you want them to be who they are, and they will.
Yeah. And you know, that's our job. Our job is to make sure that that doesn't happen. You know, Masvidal walked over and punched
Edwards.
Edwards, yeah, exactly.
And by the way, what's better than that? I'm still waiting for a rematch of that fight.
Yeah. Well, he Edwards is getting a shot at Kamaru, so those two will fight next. But yeah, I mean, there's just...
Dana, there's nothing you haven't seen.
Masvidal just doesn't talk. Masvidal doesn't just say, hey, you know, I'll come over there and do it. He doesn't even say it.
He did.
He just does it.
Yeah, three-piece and... Yeah,
and soda.
I mean, what a great moment that was. You can't tell me that wasn't awesome, right?
It wasn't awesome, but it was not awesome. Because let me tell you when it happened.
Yes, it was, Dana.
I'll tell you the backstory.
Not only was it
this.
Awesome, Dana, it was the best thing ever.
That happened in England.
Yeah. He did.
And Edwards is from England. And yep. Edwards is a real guy. Edwards isn't like... Edwards is exactly like a Masvidal. He's a real guy. We had to get Masvidal out of the country as fast as possible.
Right.
That was like... For Edwards' hometown, it was like a caravan of people heading over.
Like the village was coming.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. No, there was absolutely nothing awesome about that. And awesome for you
as a fan. I was going to say.
Not awesome for me.
If by nothing awesome you mean everything awesome, then I get you. I see you working.
Awesome speaking, for fans.
Dana, speaking of awesome, my guy, my dude, Nate Diaz, my man's all over Twitter right now. He's pushing hard for Dustin Poirier. He tweeted yesterday a picture of him across from Poirier with the message, quote, at UFC, stop playing with me. Consider this my signature to fight this bleeper. I've been trying to fight for a minute. Quit slowing down the real game. It's time. End of tweet. What did you make of that tweet?
I didn't see it. I heard about it yesterday. But here's the reality. You know, we got all these guys, 750 guys under contract. You know, I'm contractually obligated to get these guys three fights a year. We're booked right now till May, like May 2nd or something like that. Diaz will get a fight when the time comes.
Danny, is he going to get that fight, or do you have something else in mind for him?
I don't know. You know, as we get closer to the date that he would fight, we'll see what the landscape looks like, and, you know, we'll see what's next.
Dana White chopping it up with me. We're having a good time. We're in studio. It's the first time we've done this in a couple of years. How about that video you tweeted of Nate where he made that dude flinch in Tampa? How incredible was that? Like, how many times did you watch that, and how funny is that?
Yeah, I think the thing ended up with like 8 million views, and I was 2 million of them.
It's so funny.
So funny. Yeah, I know. I know that guy's all bummed out. You don't want to be that guy, but it was hilarious.
He was pissed. All right. So, and if you and I are having a conversation, there's no way we're not talking about one of my favorite dudes ever, Khamzat Chimaev. I mean, I can't keep up with all the cats that this guy's called out. Dan, I bet since you and I started this conversation, he's already challenged half the roster in the last 10 minutes.
In two weight divisions, too.
What is the latest with him in two weight divisions?
We're working on him right now. Obviously, you know, we want to get him back in there as soon as possible, too. It's like Nate Diaz is like, I want to fight right now. You know, I want Khamzat to fight right now, too. But it doesn't always work out that way. So as soon as we can get Khamzat in there, we will.
In terms of star appeal, star value, upside, you and I have talked about him in the past. Like, that guy literally is the epitome of anytime, anywhere. He'd go every day if you let him, right?
Yep, 100%. Yeah, 100%. And, you know, it was looking like we were going to be able to keep him really active, but lots of crazy things happen in this business, man. You know, and plus he's in another country, and with all the nuttiness going on right now and getting people in and out of places, you know, this business is challenging normally. Now with the world all upside down, it makes it even better.
It's hard. Dana White joining us, so I'm just jumping around really quickly. What do you make of Henry Cejudo? You know, all of a sudden, he's making a lot of noise about being or getting a shot as a three-division champ. Is he no longer retired anymore, or is he just making noise?
He is retired. I mean, the guy's retired. I got into this with the press the other day. It's like they're going, why wouldn't you give Henry this fight? Like, this is a silly conversation. Why are we even talking about this? You're talking to me about a guy who's retired. He's not even in the USADA pool right now.
Huh.
You know, you have to. There's a certain amount of time that you have to be in the USADA pool and being tested, and you don't make fights on Twitter.
Right.
You pick up the phone, you call, you say, I want to come out of retirement. What's the protocol? What do I need to do? All right, well, let's get it moving.
What's he doing? Just making noise, look at me, react to me, that kind of
thing?
Yeah,
you know, I think that in his mind, he probably wanted to fight and didn't think it out properly. And, you know, we'll see what he really wants to do here in the next couple of weeks.
Talking to Dana White for a few more moments. You know, it's been a little over a month since Juliana Pena defeated Amanda Nunes. I mean, what a night that was. I thought, in a sport, Dana, where I know that literally everybody except Habib loses, like everybody loses, I thought that Amanda would never lose ever again, and right. She did. And Juliana was amazing. So what are we talking about? Like, what would a rematch look like?
Massive. Yeah. I mean, that rematch is really big, and it could possibly be the biggest women's fight we've ever done. So we're working on that right now, too. See what Amanda wants to do and when she wants to come back and get this rematch.
Hey, you've seen this before. Like, some people, when they lose, they're never the same. Any concern at all how she responds and how she comes back? What do you think it'll be 100%, like for her?
And it's exactly like what we were just talking about 2 seconds ago. Another woman who's very wealthy. You know, she's been a two-division world champion now for a long time. Done it all, seen it all. Just had a baby. And, you know, it gets harder to be that savage and that killer you were when you were young and hungry.
Dana White with me for another moment. Our guy Jake Paul continues to make noise about you. What do you make of him overall as a fighter and a businessman?
Well, listen, the kid, everybody thinks that I hate Jake Paul. I don't hate Jake Paul. I don't even know Jake Paul to hate the guy. And he's out there doing his thing. He's trying to make some money just like everybody else is. You know, he came out and said some things about me. I challenged him to drug testing, which he completely disappeared and wants nothing to do with it. So I'm at a place where I'm like, why am I arguing with this guy who isn't under contract with me, doesn't fight for me, and probably never will fight for me? This is ridiculous. So I did the Nelk Boys podcast yesterday. I said, I'm not even talking about this guy anymore. It's just there's no need for he and I to go back and forth about anything.
Mm-hmm. All right, so one last guy. What about Connor? We always talk about Connor. You and I talked about his status back in December. You made the point that, look, it's going to be a while before he can put real torque on that leg. Is there any update or any time frame on Connor McGregor?
Yeah, I haven't talked to him about it recently, but the last time that we did talk about it, he felt like he was going to be ready to roll this summer. So we'll see how this plays. Like I said, we got fights made right now all the way up until like May 2nd. So in the next 3-4 weeks, I'll be giving him a call and see how he's feeling.
Okay, so you're back in SoCal, UFC 270, big, big night. If they have not seen this before or don't know the drill, what do they do to see what's going to happen this weekend?
Yeah, ESPN Plus pay-per-view this Saturday night. And the prelims, you can watch the whole card on ESPN Plus, or the prelims will be on ESPN too, the network.
What about the in-house gate? Are there tickets left?
Yeah, there are some tickets left, but this thing's going to be a sellout on Saturday night. You know, when I say there's tickets left, there's a handful.
So get going. Dana White, UFC president. And as I mentioned, the first time we have done this in studio in more than 2 years. Dana, really good to see you.
Good
appreciate
to see you, too, brother.
Dude, have a great weekend. Thanks for coming in.
You too. Thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate it. Dana White, don't ever forget, too. He was my guest on our podcast number 200. So there you go. Appreciate that, Dana. That was fun. It was a blast, and that went fast, and we covered a lot of ground.